This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today is the second most important narrator of hadith. He has the second highest number of hadiths after Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And this young man is Anas ibn Malik. And I say young man because for the bulk of the story he was a young man. But as you will see, he lived a very long life. And at one point in the story, he's not just an old man, but he's an ancient man. Right? And this is Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu converted to Islam around the age of 7 or 8 years old. I want you to think about that. He converts to Islam around the age of 7 or 8 years old. And from the age of 10 to the age of 20, he is in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam every single day. Every single day. This is a man who had the most blessed of lives. And we mentioned his story 2 weeks ago when we mentioned the conversion of his mother. That Umm Sulaym converts to Islam. She's one of the first people of Medina to convert. Her husband comes back from a trade journey very angry at her. He begins to shout at her and fight with her about converting to Islam. And he asks her, are you teaching this to my children? And Anas ibn Malik, at a small child, 7 or 8 years old, he says, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah in front of his father. And his father gets even more angry and he leaves home and he goes off on another journey and he passes away in another country as a disbeliever. So this is another important point to remember about Anas ibn Malik. He was an orphan in the sense that he lost his father when he was 7 years old. But we mentioned last week Abu Talha. What was the thing that Umm Sulaym praised Abu Talha for the most? She said, may Allah have mercy on Abu Talha, he treated my sons like his own. He treated my sons like his own. And so Abu Talha raised Anas ibn Malik like his own son. And Anas ibn Malik did not have a lack of male role models. Because in the evenings, he is with Abu Talha. And in the daytime, he is with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's always around a positive male role model. And this made a very big difference in how he grew up. So when Umm Sulaym went to take the pledge of Aqaba, and when she was welcoming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into the community, she felt bad that she could not pledge allegiance to him in a way where she could serve him all the time, right? Because of course she is a lady, even though she was mahram to him, and she has a family to take care of. So what she does something nobody else does, right? She takes her young son Anas, who is 10 years old at the time, and says, "Oh Rasulullah, my son is at your service. My son is at your service." And so for the next 10 years, Anas ibn Malik is with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherever he goes. Now it's important to note that when we say that Anas ibn Malik was at the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never treated him like a servant. Never. He treated him like a son. He treated him like part of his family. And we see this in the testimony of Anas ibn Malik, where he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I served him for 10 years and not once did he ever say to me, why did you do this or why didn't you do that? Not once did he even say oof to me, not once did he say a bad word to me. This is a small child who is going everywhere with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is making mistakes, who is doing things that children will do. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never once mentions a bad word to him. And really, this sets the bar very high for parenting, right? This is the best of parenting. We may not live up to this level, but we should at least try to reach the level of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he treated the children around him. And this is a point about the seerah that goes over the heads of many of us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know he had 4 daughters and 3 sons, right? But what we fail to realize is that he raised many other children as well. The children of Khadija radiallahu anha, the children of Umm Salama radiallahu anha. Ali ibn Abi Talib grew up in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zayd ibn Haritha grows up in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usama ibn Zayd grows up being treated like a grandson. And Anas ibn Malik grows up in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many, many children grew up around him. So you can imagine this man who has such an important role in society, making time not just for his own children, but for the children of others, for the orphans of society as well. And so these orphans grow up under his care. And there are many narrations of them interacting with him in a way that a father and child interact. And so Anas ibn Malik was one of these blessed children who, despite growing up without his father, he grew up in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and spent 10 years with him. And it's not like Anas ibn Malik didn't make mistakes. The most famous narration about him is where he made a mistake and how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reacted to it. So Anas ibn Malik narrates that one day when he was like 11 or 12 years old, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him to the marketplace to do a chore. And on his way, he saw some of the other kids his age playing with pigeons. Right? In those days, they didn't have video games. They didn't have our technology. They used to play with pigeons, right? That was their pets. And if you remember the story, Anas ibn Malik's younger brother even had his own pet pigeon, right? By the name of Nughayr. So he saw the children playing with the pigeon and he joined them and he forgot about the chore. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is waiting for Anas ibn Malik to come back. He doesn't come back. So he goes out to look for him and he sees him playing with the other children. And he laughs about it. He laughs, he doesn't shout him. He understands that children get distracted. He laughs about it. And he asks him to go and do the chore now. And Anas ibn Malik realizes that while playing, he lost the money that the Prophet sent him with. So Rasulullah laughs about it and he goes and does it himself. Showing a very high level of character from the Prophet. And Anas ibn Malik never forgot his interactions with the Prophet. He spends the next 10 years in his company. And after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the next 80 years, Anas ibn Malik sits in the masjid and teaches hadith for 80 years. And I want us to go back to a very important point in the beginning of the story. When Anas ibn Malik is taken by his mother to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does she say? She says, "Oh Rasulullah, this is my son Anas, he is at your service, but please make dua for him." That's all she wants in return, a dua for her son. And this is a forgotten sunnah, to ask people to make dua for our children, especially righteous people, especially the elders of our community, people whose duas are generally answered. How many of us go to them and say, "Make dua for my child"? We don't know whose dua will be answered. And here we see a very blessed occasion where Umm Sulaym asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua for her son, and he makes a powerful dua that is answered. And what is the dua? It says, "Oh Allah, bless him in his life and his progeny and his wealth. Put barakah in his life, put barakah in his children, put barakah in his wealth." And Anas ibn Malik saw all three parts of this dua come true in his lifetime. One of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is how this dua manifested in the life of Anas ibn Malik. Because we said he was 20 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and he spent the next 80 years teaching hadith. So how old was Anas ibn Malik when he passed away? Do the maths. Over 100. Some even say he was 105 years old. Can you imagine 100 years later and Anas ibn Malik is still in the masjid teaching hadith? There are people who were tabi'een for no other reason except that they met Anas ibn Malik when he was over 100 years old. This was the barakah in the life, where he lived to be over 100 years old. And he never reached that level of old age where he's dependent on others. He never reaches that. Right till the age of 104, 105, you see him going and standing up to tyrants. You see him giving lectures in the masjid. You see him not afraid of anyone. He's still a healthy man right till that age. Again, the barakah of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He not only lived a long life, but he maintained his health for the entire life. Number two, what was the second part of the dua? Put barakah in his wealth. Anas ibn Malik became so wealthy that other people would ask him to be a silent partner in their business, because there was a guarantee that if Anas ibn Malik invested in your business, you're going to make a profit. He never made a loss in business. Any business deal he took part in became profitable. And so many people made him a partner in their business, and he didn't really care about the businesses, because they reached a point where the money was too much. You know, anyone who's made money knows you reach a point where it means nothing to you now, right? Where it's just too much. And he would just give all this money in charity and set up various, you know, charitable institutions all over. He would just give the money out and he would just keep coming back and keep coming back more and more and more. Throughout his life, he never had to worry about money. He never had to worry about poverty. He became from the wealthiest of people. And number three, put barakah in his children. When Anas ibn Malik would walk to the masjid, you would see a group of 100 young men behind him. And people would ask, "Are those his students?" And others would reply, "No, those are his sons and grandsons and his great-grandsons. That's his family." 100 young men One narration even says he had 80 children. 80 children. Right? Some say that's an exaggeration. But however many children he had, they had children and they had children. Remember, he lives to the age of 105. So by the age of 105, you've got your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, all of those coming with him to the masjid. Right? So he has this huge family, massive family. And the barakah is not just in the numbers. The barakah is in the quality. Because when you look at the hadith narrations of Anas ibn Malik, you will find his son narrating from him. And that person's son narrating from him. And that person's son narrating from him. Meaning, generation upon generation of ulama. Generation upon generation of hadith scholars. The barakah is not just in the quantity of children, but in the quality of children. Now I want us to look at this aspect of Anas ibn Malik's life from a different perspective. One we may never have thought about before. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when a person passes away, all of their deeds come to an end except for three. Knowledge that they left behind to benefit people, wealth that they gave in charity that continues to benefit people, and their descendants that make dua for them, their righteous descendants that make dua for them. Three things benefit you after you pass away, and we need to spend our lives building up these three things. Anas ibn Malik's life was these three things. Think about it. His wealth that just kept coming in and kept coming in no matter how much he gave to charity. That's the charity he left behind that continues to benefit people. His knowledge, which right until today, you cannot teach Islam without quoting Anas ibn Malik. You cannot teach Islam without quoting Anas ibn Malik. He narrated the second largest number of ahadiths. That knowledge continues to benefit us today. And inshallah, he continues to get the reward till today. And then righteous descendants that make dua for you, he left behind over 100 descendants. Righteous people who made dua for him. And so we see the barakah of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Anas ibn Malik becomes the kind of person who leaves behind a legacy that will continue to build up his good deeds until the day of judgment. And I want us to focus on that for our own lives. This is a very important aspect of Islam that many of us forget. That one day we are all going to die. We want our deeds to outlive us. This is very important. We all will leave this world. Our deeds must outlive us. Find ways to leave behind knowledge that benefits others. Find ways to invest your money in charity that continues to benefit others after you've passed away. And make sure you raise a next generation and the generation after that to be righteous people. That even after you have passed away and hundreds of years have gone by, your descendants are still making dua for you. People are still saying, you know, I'm a descendant of so and so. May Allah be pleased with him. Make sure you're leaving behind generation upon generation of righteousness that make dua for you. So this is the legacy of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away, the greatest tragedy to afflict the ummah, Anas ibn Malik had the honor of being part of the janazah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of those who actually did the ghusl for the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have the famous hadith in the beginning of the Shama'il of Tirmizi, where Anas ibn Malik says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and we were washing his body, I counted the number of white hairs on his beard, and it was less than 20. Less than 20. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away at the age of 62. He has less than 20 white hairs. Right? Most of us know that this is a miracle itself. Right? Because let's face it, we start getting white hairs very young. Right? For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 62 to have only less than 20 white hairs, this was, you know, a sign that Allah had blessed him with youth until the old age. That he remained a young, fit man, no matter how old he got. And Anas ibn Malik was the same. One of the benefits of Anas ibn Malik spending his youth with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he reached a level of love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we can't even imagine. That anything the Prophet liked, he liked. There are narrations where he said, I went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to eat food and people served us something and I saw that the Prophet loved it and for the rest of my life I loved that same food. This was the level of love he reached for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he reached such a strong level of love for him and closeness to him and connection to him that he had a miracle, another miracle that honestly would make you jealous. And that miracle was, we said during his life he spent 10 years in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every single day. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away, every single night for the next 85 years, for the rest of Anas ibn Malik's life, he dreams of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sees him in his dreams. every single night. This was a karamat gifted to Anas ibn Malik for spending his youth accompanying Rasulullah and dedicating the rest of his life to teaching hadith. Allah blessed him with this miracle of seeing him in his dreams. And we know whoever saw Rasulullah in his exact form in his dreams has truly seen him. And so he saw him every single night. I want us to think about the legacy of this man and to remember his legacy. And we need to revive this legacy. We need to study these ahadith. Anas ibn Malik spent 85 years teaching ahadith. Have we studied these hadith? Have we internalized them? Have we made them a part of our life? Have we learned to live by them? Because this man dedicated his life to making sure that the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches us. So we need to make sure that we are taking advantage of that, and we are studying that, and we are living by it. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Everyone goes through tests in life. Everyone goes through trials in life. And you know, the story we mentioned of Anas ibn Malik, it seems very rosy, right? Just good thing upon good thing. But we have to remember, everyone faces trials in life. And that includes Anas ibn Malik. When he was young, he faced the trial of his father passing away. But the trials he faced in old age was really something very severe and something that I wouldn't wish upon anyone. But they also revealed his character that to be one of the bravest and the most sincere and the most outspoken of the Sahaba. So we said that Anas ibn Malik had over 100 descendants. And he lived till the age of 105. So he lived to see some very dark times in our history. He lived through the civil war, which he sat out of. He did not get involved on either side in the civil war. He lived through the second civil war, right? And just before the second civil war, many of us don't know about the second civil war, right? Between the army of the Umayyads and Abdullah ibn Zubayr, right? Many of us are not aware of this civil war. But just before the civil war, there's a couple of events that sparked it. The one we know of is Karbala. And we all know Karbala. But many of us don't know about another even more tragic event, not in terms of who was killed, but in terms of numbers, that took place a few weeks after Karbala. After Karbala, the Muslims of Medina were very, very angry. And rightly so. The descendants of Rasulullah had been killed by Muslims. So the people of Medina began to protest. And the tyrant king of that time, Yazid, he sends an army of mercenaries to Medina and tells them they have 3 days to do whatever they want. And they did things to Medina, the Muslims and the Sahaba of Medina, that we can't even mention on the minbar. You know, when you send an army into a place and tell them they can do what they want, we know what they do. And on that occasion, hundreds of the Tabi'een and Atba'at Tabi'een were murdered and massacred, including many, many of the children of Anas ibn Malik. Many of his children and grandchildren were killed that day. So he lived to see a massacre of his descendants. But he doesn't end there. Because to win this civil war, the Umayyads employed a very tyrannical general by the name of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. And Hajjaj ibn Yusuf and Anas ibn Malik, they would clash on many, many occasions. To such an extent that Hajjaj ibn Yusuf would publicly humiliate Anas ibn Malik. He would put him in public with a sign on him to humiliate him, right? To put him down. Can you imagine that this individual spends his youth in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he spends his life teaching ahadith, yet when he reaches old age, much younger men than him, who never met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who claim to be Muslims, were publicly humiliating him, were putting him down, were trying to kill him. Honestly, they wanted to kill him, but because of his status in society, they couldn't do that without causing a riot. And it reached such a bad point that Anas ibn Malik had to write a letter to the king, to the Umayyad king, telling him, this is what Hajjaj is doing, this is what Hajjaj is saying, you need to deal with it. And the king has to write two letters, one to Anas ibn Malik apologizing, and the other to Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, telling him to apologize to Anas ibn Malik. And so Hajjaj ibn Yusuf very insincerely offers a public apology to Anas ibn Malik, but the tension remains for the rest of their lives. And I mention this story because it's important for us to realize that life is a test. And no matter how righteous a person is, they will be tested. And even the best of people were tested. Even someone like Anas ibn Malik, who spent his youth in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he never missed a battle. The early battles he missed fighting in them because he was too young, right? He was 10 years old, he was 11 years old. But as soon as he hit puberty, he took part in every other battle. He was there amongst fighting on the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He spent the rest of his life teaching the ahadith and teaching people about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the shama'il, the physical descriptions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is one of the main narrators of that, because he spent 10 years with him every single day. He's the one who described to us exactly how he looked. And so Anas ibn Malik that spends his life in doing all of this, but still he is not spared the trials of this life. Still he is not spared from facing tests in this life. From seeing his descendants massacred, to being publicly humiliated by a tyrant ruler, he faced trial upon trial. And through all of these trials, he was patient. Through all of these trials, he remained sincere. He remained committed to teaching ahadith. He remained committed to speaking the truth. He never allowed any of these things to stop him from his mission in life. And this is my final lesson for us from the story of Anas ibn Malik. That life will get tough. And every single one of us will face difficulty. And every single one of us will face some kind of trials. That is the moment where you see how sincere you are in your faith. That if you continue on the straight path through every trial, that is the sign of sincerity. If you are able to rise up and be stronger and be braver and be more pious, no matter how difficult life gets, that is a sign of sincere faith. And that is what the Sahaba went through. And this is what every believer should expect to go through. Life in this world is not meant to be easy. Ease is in Jannah. In this world, there are ups and downs. There are periods of ease and there are periods of difficulty. For some people, their whole lives are difficulty, with the ease only coming in Jannah. And so we take lessons from the lives of the Sahaba, that they went through these trials and they came out from it stronger. So inshallah, the trials of our lives, we too will come out from it stronger. We ask Allah to accept from us our efforts. We ask Allah to bless us with a correct understanding of this religion, with appreciation for the ahadith and a love for the Sahaba. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. أقيم الصلاة.